Our reading today is from Job 42, verses 12 through 17, and I'm dying to see how Pastor is going to bring this into her sermon. The Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He named the first Jeremiah, the second Keziah, and the third Karen Hapuch. In all the land, there were no women so beautiful as Job's daughters, and their father gave them an inheritance along with his brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years. He saw his children, his children's children, 4 generations, and Job died, old and full of days. This is the word of God for the people of God.
It is a challenge, a big challenge is what I was thinking about in this Women's Month, and starting with daughters. Daughters who are born to serve, born to God-fearing fathers. The role of a daughter has been used, abused, and misunderstood. Even though they didn't have agency that the sons did, some daughters became leaders of God's people. Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, we pray. Amen. Remembering the audience, those who worship with us, this sermon has been tamed down from how it was originally written. Because I came with a fire in my belly, when I was looking through the scriptures, trying to find some beautiful biblical stories of daughters. I raised my voice enough that Tressie jumped out of her chair. I cried enough to have to reach for a tissue. And I took a walk. And I said, God, I thought the daughters were in your word too. Mind you, this is after we already changed the whole scope of what we were doing in July, so Tressie already threw away 4 bulletins and asked me, what would you like to have done by tomorrow? I wanted to have a bulletin that represented the daughters of faith. Relying on the internet concordance instead of the one that my grandmother gave me, I searched for scriptures that included the word daughter. You're welcome to go home and do so and probably find the same list that I do. And if you don't feel like puking at the end of reading that list, then maybe we're a little further apart from each other than I knew. Daughters were used in the stories that are recorded in the Bible. I didn't want that. I wanted a story that lifted up daughters and their roles of the faith. And so I kept looking and studying. And thank goodness that Job had some sort of revival with God, because there's a little bit of positive in there, even if it's Job's story. You know Job's story, don't you? The man who was fully devoted to God, who had more than what you could imagine, camels and animals and land, right? And he had 10 children. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And they would have feasts together. And after they would come home from their feasting time, Job would go before the Lord and he would pray. And he would say, God, if my children have done anything sinful, forgive them. Job was devoted to God. And so he prayed, even not only for his own sins and indiscretions, but for those of his children that they may or may not have had. And yet Job still suffered greatly. All 10 of those children were killed. His things were taken away, and you remember his wife turned, we'll get to her in a couple weeks, but his wife turned and said, just give up on that God. Just give up. Obviously, God doesn't love you the way you love God, right? But Job said no and sat in sackcloth and ashes. Three friends came to visit him, didn't help, right? They said, let go of that God, right? And yet Job said no. The end of Job in chapter 42, Job is revived in a way that some think can only be a folk story. He's again given seven sons and three daughters. And in the end of Job, those three daughters have names. And that was a gift to me this week, to read their names. Our Bible has many great stories of the sons of God-fearing men. Early in the Bible, we learn of a father that was so committed to offering God what is asked of him that he ties his son to a bed of sticks, preparing for him to be the sacrifice required by God. There's stories of birthright, inheritance, and nations that are born of the sons. Noah's sons accompanied him on the ark, a reminder of the need for the next generation to not only live, but to carry out faith. But to find the stories of the daughters, we have to sift through stories of abuse, words draped in cloths of hospitality and dowry. Having a son meant prosperity. Daughters were something to be enjoyed, to get what you can from, and then pay for another to take off your hands. If you really want to cry, read the story of Lot. How he offers up his daughters as hospitality. And how his daughters repay him for his indiscretion. It didn't feel like something I could read in church. But I know that in order for us to get to next week when we talk about sisters, and the following week when we talk about wives, and the last week when we talk about mothers, that those women have to first exist in the Bible and live through all of these transactions of life so that they can be the mother of Jesus, the grandmother of Jesus, right? The woman who desperately pulls on Jesus' cloak and says, heal my daughter, right? These daughters have to grow up. And so therefore, they have to be in the Holy Book, or at least part of their story. Because we all begin as children, right? We claim to be children of the living God, but we're also members of families born, raised by people. We are children first, sons and daughters. That familiarity, that familiar relationship helps define our role sometimes. In the Bible, it not only defined their role, but also sometimes their agency or their responsibilities or their expectations. Maybe perhaps less in today's world when traditions of marriage are not a must for survival and dowries are not the father of the bride's payment always. But in biblical times, the daughters tend to be unnamed, mostly unmentioned, and yet some grew up to be the strongest women of faith. I invite you to think and to bring me stories of daughters in the Bible. Tell me what you find, please, because I can't stomach the ones I have found so far. But think about this month, how these daughters grew up in such a faithful household that they could serve in such a beautiful way to save God's people, right? Esther was a girl once too, right? Don't read about Ruth or Tamara or Lot's daughters, or the daughters of priests, and what happens to them if they eat from the offering. We'll get to how brothers play a role in limiting daughters next week. But we'll keep it PG, I promise. But this first week, as we look at daughters, I invite you to think of their value. I invite you, women, to think of how you have been raised, hopefully, by faithful men. How you've been offered the chance to learn hospitality. How your gifts of prophesying have been used for the church and for God. And how you have borne the children who will claim God as their father. I was told you never have a sermon without good news. I'll try. And that's what I found in Job. This God-fearing man, who had everything, continued to fear and love God. And he was blessed. And he recognized that blessing was so important that when he was given 7 sons and 3 daughters, their names survived. Their names survived the ancient stories and the handing down of the biblical content that has now been written in a book easy for us to pass on, but back in the day, not so easy. Jemiah, her name means day or dove. Kaza, spice, or like cinnamon, sweetness. And then I'm sure I'll pronounce this wrong, but Krenin Hapik, vessel of beauty. When written, her name looks like Karen, just in case you need a modern tie to all the Karens of the world, right? But his 3 girls, we're told they were beautiful, which is a sign in biblical times that your name might be written down. I think beauty, when they write it in the Bible, from my study anyway, didn't always mean that their attraction, they were physically attractive, but that there was something about them worth noting. Beauty. Jemiah, Kaza, and Krenin Hapik. The dove, the cinnamon, and the vessel of beauty, or the paint. For Job to name them for us in this end-of-life account of his restoration gives us hope that not only were his daughters valued enough that generations of oral tradition have remembered their names, but also to the sentiment that Job provided for them just as he did for his boys. Did you see that part? They got inheritance too. Very uncommon in that day, but Job knew they were a gift. Not like the sons who fought each other for their father's inheritance or through trickery or fighting that we hear in other stories, but given freely with no expectation. To me, that's the good news. As I think about being raised as a daughter of faith by the women of the church, and yes, those church basement lady skits are pretty accurate, a lot happens in the kitchens of churches. That's where we really learn. But as a daughter of faith, as one who looks to the Bible for hope and good news, I continue, even after my scouring through this week, to find hope in the way that God has empowered our children to be faithful and to lead us, so that they will grow up to be wise, caring, life-giving women and sustain the faithful like they have throughout all of history. We were born to serve. I wonder if you feel that too. You were born to serve, not to be used, not to be abused, not to be part of a transaction or a gift to another, but to serve the living God. I pray that as you think about how you have been equipped with wisdom in the Word and in the world, that you will think about how you too can lead God's people. Are you a daughter that holds the gift of prophecy so you can assist those learning their faith and preparing hearts to walk with God's people? As we continue to look at the women of the Bible and learn some of their stories, I pray that you will find yourself in there, but you will also help us find hope. Because the women of the Bible sustained the life of God and continue to in this day. May God bless our time together, and may our hearts be so moved that we continue to look for the stories of our daughters, and we continue to empower them to know the Word of God in this place and always. Amen.